Christmas. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. Please stand and let's worship together this morning. Promise maker.
Promise maker. Promise keeper. You finish what you begin. Our provision through the desert. You see it through till the end. Oh, you see it through.
Open up the gate. So open up the gate.
King of Kings. Oh, the God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him.
Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Amen. Sing this out this morning. Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? No one. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion. Every knee will bow before Him. Oh, 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 oh. Every knee will bow. Oh,
oh, oh. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Have a seat. Good morning. Well, good morning. We can all say it. We're a small group. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church, and welcome to our launch service. I'm Nick Schimmer, one of the pastors here, and it's a blessing to be in worship with you this morning in our final worship of the decade. And so we are excited to spend that time with all of you. Next Sunday is going to be a very exciting Sunday here at Asbury. It's Epiphany Sunday. And so we hope that you will join us as we join in that celebration together. If you are visiting with us today, first of all, welcome. We are glad you are here. We hope you find our worship to be spirit-filled and welcoming, and you just find Asbury to be a great place to be. When the time allows, at the end of each row, you have our friendship pads or attendance pads, whatever you want to call them. Take a moment and fill those out, and then the ushers will collect those right after the offering. So with that being said, as we prepare to rejoin Caleb and the group in worship, let's stand up and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbor. All right. As we come back together and recenter our hearts and minds for worship, please join me, stay standing, and please join me in reciting our affirmation of faith. It will be found up on the screen. Follow along with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead, He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to welcome the children forward for a special children's message with Miss Sherry.
He can't. So, say you would have a deer come into your backyard and you would feed it apple slices every day. Well, one of these mama deers kind of became your pet and you fed it every single day, and it got to where you could scratch her head, you could pet her, and this was the greatest thing. And you could tell by the way she looked at you that she trusted you. Well, winter came and she left, and you kind of wondered, well, am I ever going to see this deer again? Because she was my pet. You were a little sad, but you know, you thought maybe she went off and found another friend. But in the springtime, this deer came back to you. She wanted more apple slices, and it warmed up, and she also bought you a special visitor. She bought you her sweet little baby to come to see you. So that is very, very exciting, because if you know a deer, unless they trust you or a wild creature like that, they would never bring their baby to see you. So you, she must have trusted that you would never harm her. And you did that by the way that you treated her every day. So what qualities do you know of someone who you trust? Do you know some qualities of someone you trust? Lily, what would be something you trust? What's somebody who's trustworthy? What do you expect from them? Maybe they're honest. Maybe they're kind. Maybe they always do what they say they're going to do. Michael, somebody that you trust. How do they act?
My brother sometimes. When he hit me, he bullied me.
Which one?
My cousins?
Jason?
But sometimes
my older brother. Like, when the cousins come over, he's a huge bully, but when they leave, he's like...
Poor Dylan. I think Dylan's pretty sweet. I think Dylan's pretty trustworthy, because I taught him in Sunday school. No. He's a pretty trustworthy kid. All right, so let's always, but someone who's trustworthy always wants the best for you, don't they? They always want it, and they'll never harm you, and you can trust that. So we learned by reading the Bible that there's somebody who always wants the best for us and loves us and would never do any harm to us. Who do you think that is? God, Jesus, right.
The Holy Spirit.
Now, when Jesus lived on this earth, he said, I will put my trust in God. And guess what? If you ever look at the money that you have, on the back of our money, it also says, in God we trust. So, that's some pretty good advice, isn't it? To trust in God, because you know that he always wants the best for us and he will never harm us. So, let us say a quick prayer. And those of you that are up through second grade can come with me back to Kids Club, okay? Everybody bow their heads. Dear God, please let us always remember to put our trust in you, to love and protect us all the time. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand and continue worship with us this morning. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle one, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Oh. I know the night won't last. Your word still comes to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough.
keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed your promise. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Oh.
Have a seat. As we prepare for the giving of our tithes and offerings, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the opportunity that you give us every day to be the stewards of your kingdom here on earth. And God, we just ask that as we're in this season of hope and of birth and renewal, that God, you put a renewal in us. And that we, through our gifts of our talent, our times, our finances, and our resources, that we utilize those in full trust in you to advance your kingdom and to build that new creation that you call all of us to push towards in discipleship. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
I can't go back to the beginning. Can't control what tomorrow will bring, but I know here in the middle is the place where you promised to be. I'm not not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again?
'Cause all I want.
'Cause all I want is all you are. Will you meet me here again?
Good morning. I had to try this out. This was not planned, but sometimes God throws you a softball. We have this intention of bringing the light of Christ into the launch service every week now. It was something we hadn't done in the past. We didn't have acolytes, and I'm not sure why that is, but we have changed that, and so Sadie brought in the light today, and she did an absolutely wonderful job, but at some point during our service, one of our candles went out. And I don't know what the problem is. Maybe we're under a vent right here, or maybe we didn't check the oil. But for some reason, this candle went out, and this candle is kind of going, and then here we sit in the middle, the light of Christ is still burning stronger than ever. And I was thinking about what Caleb said, which is, all I want is all you are about Christ. Because I know sometimes we feel like this candle. Anybody with me on that? Amen, if you ever feel like this candle right here. And sometimes we feel like that candle, or this candle is barely hanging on. But then we have the candle of love that burns strong, and we have the candle of Christ that is burning forever. Our sermon this morning is called The Light Shines On, and so I want us to think about how we keep that light of Christ burning in our heart. But before we start, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious, loving God, what a blessing it is to be here today as a family in this community. God, we are so thankful for all the gifts that you have given us, the gifts that we know and the gifts we don't know. Because, God, some of the best things that you have ever provided for us are things unseen. God, we ask that you are with us today through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, that you be the driving force of the message that we need to hear, that you be the driving force behind the music and the lights and the sound and just everything that we do in our worship community here. We need you to be the driver of that, because it is not us we are here for, God, it is you. This morning, as we sit here and we worship in an environment, God, that we know is quite comfortable, we know that there are so many of your disciples around the world who wake up every day looking to spread the good news of Jesus Christ in a place that is not safe, in a place where they fear for their lives. And we just ask that you are with them, provide them a hedge of protection, God, so that they may continue to push the good news of our Savior to the darkest places in the world. God, this morning we ask for change. We ask that through something, you put a change in us, God, place it in our hearts so that the light of Christ, that feeling that we feel in this Christmas season, carries on. We know the valleys, God. We know the pits of our lives. And we just ask that even in those dark places that we move to, that light continues to shine and burn bright. And lastly, God, we ask that you take center stage today, that this message be your message, that it be the one that we need to hear so we may go forward and be fruitful disciples for you. We ask all this in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture this morning is from the book of Hebrews. It is chapter 2, verses 10 through 18. I'll read it. It will be up there on the screen. Feel free to follow along. Was that me? Okay, follow along anyway. God for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. For he said to God, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. He also said, I will put my trust in him, that is, I and the children God has given me. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. We also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So Christmas, I don't know how it was for you guys. It was quite a day for me this year. This was my first Christmas as a pastor. So on Christmas Eve, I got home at about 1 a.m., okay? And knowing that this was going to happen, I made my kids, well in advance of that day, promise me that no matter what happened, they would not touch me before 7:30 in the morning. I felt pretty good about the agreement, but I fully understood going into that, that it was not a binding contract. And come to think of it, I probably should have had it written in blood. So you can imagine, I found myself on the couch what felt like much earlier than I think it actually was. I don't remember what time, but I know that it was, I was pretty glassy-eyed, and I had about the strongest cup of coffee that I could find. But I sat there prepared to share the joy of what Santa dropped off at the house sometime between 1 a.m. and whenever I got up. Because it wasn't there when I went to bed, and when I got up, it was there. And it was amazing. So, and it was a wonderful morning with the kids, but here's the thing about it, and I know a lot of you may have noticed this. Just as quickly as it began, it was over. So I found myself there on the couch, tired and still holding this coffee, kind of in this window of my day. It was this window between the gifts that we opened that morning and whatever was next on the schedule for Christmas Day. And we all have that moment, not just on Christmas Day, but in most of our days, where we find ourselves in between things. We find ourselves just sort of waiting for the next thing that is going to happen. And for Christmas Day for you, it might be a lot of different things. It might be going to see family. It might be just dying to take a nap. Or it might be preparing the house for guests that you're going to have arrive. But there's always that moment. It's that moment after the gifts have been opened and the wrapping paper is on the floor and the breakfast dishes are dirty and we have to prepare for our next move. And what it is, it's one of what I call one of those truly in-between moments in life. In many ways, as Christians, we find ourselves in that in-between moment right now. Christmas has come and gone. Our Savior has been born. We're closing the book on yet another decade of our lives. The next time we get together for worship next Sunday, it will be 2020. It will be a whole new decade. And it will also be Epiphany Sunday, where the Magi from a foreign land, with the guidance of the Star of Bethlehem, will make their way to visit a child. A child who is going to turn God's entire narrative on its ear and bring salvation to everyone. More on that next week. But in this moment, we find ourselves in a bit of a transitionary period. We're in that period between the birth of Jesus and Epiphany. And the hard part is there's nothing in the Bible that tells us about what happens during that time. So what we're left to do is we're left to imagine what was going on. And it can be interesting to do that, and sometimes it can be a little bit of fun. Some of the questions I thought of was, as a baby, did Jesus sleep through the night? And when Jesus was crying in the night, who had to get up? Did Mary and Joseph kind of look at each other and go, it's your turn? And I almost wonder, depending on how long it took the Magi to get there, because you don't know, some say it took days, months, or years for them to get there, did Jesus go through his terrible twos? If he was fully human, did he have terrible twos? So we're left to think of these questions because there's no chronicle of what happened. But I would imagine that since Jesus took on a fully human life, that there were these moments, these in-between moments of parenting firsts for Mary and Joseph, similar to what many of us have experienced as parents. See, the author of Hebrews, as well as any other author in the Bible, shows us not what has occurred with the birth of Jesus in the physical sense, the way Luke and Matthew do, but what the birth of Christ meant for humanity. And it happened without anyone realizing that it occurred. See, the first part of verse 11 of what I just read is critical to our understanding of Jesus' purpose and how it impacts all of us. And it represents a seismic shift in our existence. It says, so now Jesus and the ones he made holy have the same Father. Though I'm not very good at it, I do like to play chess a little bit. Not good at it at all, but I enjoy it. And what I enjoy about it is two things. I enjoy the strategy of it, and I enjoy just this relaxing time that it brings about, because it is relaxing. But here's the key to chess from what I've been told, because I'm not a good chess player. But I was told the key is to be able to think multiple moves ahead yourself and then be able to anticipate what your opponent is going to do, sometimes even before they think of it. And if you can do that, you can kind of turn your tide on the opponent. You can kind of shift the narrative. See, the birth of Jesus essentially did two things. First of all, it shifted the narrative on our spiritual enemy. This will be fully realized at the resurrection, but it starts here. The other thing it did was that it took all of humanity and brought us under one umbrella. We became bonded through Christ, all of one Father, just like it said in verse 11, all of the same opportunity. And that is a powerful idea to think about. That God, in the act of taking on human form, completely altered the relationship of humanity, not only to him, but to each other. So this in-between time, this time that we're existing in between creation and recreation, our purpose is in the early stages right now of being altered. There is a transformation that is occurring in all of us as we grow in our faith, and transformation made possible because Christ came down and lived the perfect life that we all at one time were capable of living before we fell into the trappings of our own humanity. So that's where we find ourselves right now, in the in-between, still stuck in our humanity. While in the midst of it, we're able to celebrate the life of our Savior. We did that this week. One who was exposed to the same temptations, the same offerings of worldly power and riches, but was able to navigate a life free from sin. He did what seems to us to be impossible. But that's the point, isn't it? For God to show us what's possible in all that we see as impossible. It's why we believe. It's why we have faith. It's why we bother coming here every week. It's why we study and follow Scripture. It's why we sing to the heavens like we've been doing this morning. Because in all of those things, we see the glory of God. We see a purpose bigger than anything this world can offer. So we come into union as God's children, unified by our Savior, who was born low but lived high. As an example, not just of what we can be, but through his blood, what we will eventually become. In a few days, the New Year's will come and go. The Christmas tree and the lights will come down. The ornaments will be stowed away. All the new toys that were received will just be added to the pile. Some will probably already be broken. And all those great Christmas movies will be put away until next year. Perhaps at some point we're going to get some brutally cold weather. I know it's hard to fathom that right now. We've had amazing weather this December. But there's always that chance of an Arkansas January where you just get those few days of ice that are just a disaster. And we may find ourselves looking out the window and just hoping for spring and for the renewal that it brings. But I challenge all of us to not get stuck there, to get stuck in the in-between seasons of our lives where we are longing for more than what we have or for something new to come along and grab our focus. We have been given a great and new gift in the form of a child who will grow to be a teacher, live flawlessly, only to die in the most awful way possible, but to die for every single one of us. This gift isn't an iPhone or an Xbox or a Christmas sweater or even an air fryer, which I would really like to have. It's a gift that won't lose its shine. It won't be discarded into the pile with the other Christmas gifts of the past. This is a gift that carries on enduringly through our faith. The shine only wears off if we allow it, if we see this great gift as just a part of a season and not the reason for every minute of our existence. See, being stuck in this in-between, it's perfectly okay. We're all stuck in it together, but we move forward towards God's glory together as well. And in the meantime, we have the great honor of being stewards of His kingdom. See, there's too many around us that will just add the spoils of Christmas to their earthly pile, and they will move on, because they have not yet felt the power of Christ's love. They have not had their eyes open to the majesty of God working in their lives. Because even for those who do not believe, God is still working in them as a part of His mighty story. We've had a lot of company over the last week. Several of them are taking up this front row here. They're still with us. And, you know, it's such a blessing to have family and friends around during Christmas, to hear a house full of talking and laughter, and to hear kids running around making messes that I won't discover till like a month from now when we play What's That Smell? But it is a blessing to have them all here, but it's also stressful in the days leading up to it, because you have to ask a lot of questions, right? Like, where is everyone going to sleep? Do we have enough towels? Do we have enough coffee? So much planning goes into making sure that your guests are as comfortable as possible and that all their needs are met. And the same goes for our time here on earth as disciples. This in-between time can be one that's well occupied, if we choose it to be, by witnessing to others the power and love of Christ. See, we can't just be a group that sits around and waits for epiphany. But what we can do is we can go out and allow God to use us to be an epiphany for someone else, to bring others into His eternal house where there are plenty of seats, plenty to eat, plenty of towels, and most of all, there's plenty of joy. Epiphany Sunday next week will be a powerful time for all of us together here at Asbury. While we will see a new revelation, God continues to reveal new things to us all the time. We know who the baby is. We know that He is everything, and we know that we are His. Carry that with you this week and beyond. Carry it to work. Carry it to school, to the grocery store. And if your New Year's resolutions have already started, carry it with you to the gym. Carry it and let that light shine through you. The light of Christ will continue to shine on in your darkest days as much as your brightest seasons. And there is nothing you can do to extinguish it, because I assure you, you're not that powerful. Let us pray. Gracious, loving God, we give thanks to You for this message today, for Your word, and for an opportunity to help us understand it deeper and to understand this call that You have placed on our lives. Let that light of Christ continue to shine in us, God. Continue to shine through us as we leave this place today and move about into Your mighty kingdom. Use us in a mighty way, God, so that we may be great stewards and we may be great disciples for You. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. If the Holy Spirit has spoken with you today, it's a great time to act on it. This last song is what we call our song of invitation. And so I want to do just that. I want to invite you to utilize this time for however you are so moved. We have our prayer kneelers down here. You are more than welcome to use them. If you want to pray with me, I would love to have that opportunity. I'll be standing right down here. If you've been visiting for some time and you think, you know, these Asbury people with all the kids running around, all the craziness, they're not too bad. I'd like to be part of that. We would love to do that this morning as well. Or maybe the Holy Spirit has moved you and said, you know, it's time to step forward and reaffirm your faith. You can do that as well. Just join me down here. Or maybe you just want to stand and sing to a holy God that loves you more than you'll ever know. Either way, let's be standing as we sing this final song. Come here.
There is a promise that points beyond my failure. There is a still voice to silence all my fears. Even the worst of my mistakes, miracles in the making. By your stripes I am healed. With one touch I am made whole. You have spoken, and I know that it is so. In the storm, you are peace, and your love won't let me go. You have spoken, and I know that it is so. In every season, your purpose is unchanging. In every moment, you're working for my good. Jesus, the rock that never fails, your kingdom will not be shaken. Your kingdom will not be shaken. By your stripes, I am with one touch, I am made whole. You have spoken, and I know that it is so. In the storm, you are peace, and your love won't let me go. You have spoken, and I know that.
Amen. It has been awesome to be with all of you today, all of you young and old alike. The children love to run around here, but I sure would rather have them here than somewhere else. You know what I mean? One quick announcement that I just want to share really quickly. We got all of our 2020 covenant cards back for those of you that signed up to serve in various ministries. I'll be sending out emails this week as far as our 2020 assisting calendar. So if you get anything from me, Nick at AsburyLittleRock.org, that probably means I signed you up to do something. So please look at it, okay? Other than that, as you leave this place, may the light of Christ in your heart shine through you. May you be steadfast in living out your faith. And may the Spirit that lives within you be reflected in all you encounter. Go in peace.